All right, let's turn our Bibles this morning to Joshua chapter 10. That'll be where the main reference is for this morning. We've been talking this month about the attributes of a smith, I guess. The more I study about this, the more I work on it, the further away from smithing that I get. It's more, there's just so much more of a spiritual application to all this than there is a physical one in the application in our lives, really. I mean, we can relate to it in some ways, but man, it's just good. We've been talking this month. The first one was the right tools. Second one was guidance and instruction. Last week was fire. And this week we're going to talk about strength. Something that you got to have in order to do any kind of job at all is strength. And these little kids, from the time they're born, that's just, you know, it ain't just the boys. The girls want to be a big girl. They want to, and honestly, having had more girls than boys, I've noticed that developmentally, they start it sooner, trying to climb up on stuff and trying to do things on their own and trying to, you know, every child wants to be stronger. That's what they want to be. More independent. The goal is to not have to have your help, because they want to be able to do it on their own. Strength. They got to have it. They want it. That's the ultimate goal. I remember as a boy growing up there, and Grandpa had the sawmill, and you've heard me say it before, but it was just like the measure of a man to be able to slide that 7x9 tie in the stack without Grandpa having to help me. And it's funny, but I remember the very first time that I figured out how to put my knees behind my hands and slide it in. And I was just like, yes, I did it. And then I had to look to be sure somebody was watching. I mean, it was important to me. Strength. It meant that I had graduated from one class, even if it was in my own mind, to another class of ability. And that's just how life is with all kinds of stuff and with everybody. It don't matter if you're really assertive in this life or if you're timid and backward and, you know, very reserved or anything like that. Even reserved people who are introverts still have personal goals that they like to set for themselves and accomplish things in their life. It's all about strength. It's about gaining ground. There's three different kinds of strength I want to talk about this morning. There's physical strength, and there's strength of character, and there's spiritual strength. I know it sounds a little bit cliche, but there's a lot to this. I'm just going to talk a few minutes about these three things, and then we'll proceed. But first of all, something that I have come to realize about these three topics, these kinds of strength. Nobody's ever born with any of these characteristics. Now, there are some children who are born and at an earlier age, they may walk sooner than others, or they may be more, you know, independently inclined. I'll just put it that way, because children, I don't want to read nefarious stuff into what a kid does when they're little bitty. You know, because they want to run before they can walk don't mean they're evil. They're just, some of them develop faster than others. And some of them have more of a drive to accomplish things than others. I've known kids that have walked when they were 8 months old. And I've known children who were been fine if you'd carried them everywhere they went until they were 4 years old. They didn't mind. Anna was like that. You know, she would have just, we'd have carried her for, I think she learned how to walk at, I want to say it was like 14 months or something. It was 11 months. And Maddie walked at 9 months. So it was really strange to see this tiny little baby walking around the house. And, you know, I remember Kim saying she took Anna to the doctor and said, I'm concerned because, you know, she's not trying to walk. He said, well, do you ever put her down? Well, no, not really. And he said, you might try that, you know, and then it wasn't very long and she started walking. So, you know, I mean, some people are just more inclined to persevere and pursue this matter of gaining strength than others are. But ultimately, when you know, all these three different types that we're talking about here, strength of physical strength, character, spiritual strength, you're not born with them. You're just kind of a blank slate. And that hails back to what I've talked about here this month about somebody making you into what you're going to be. Everybody having a hand in those hammer blows that turn you and shape you into what you're going to be. You know, you're born pretty much a shapeless lump as far as what you are mentally and what you're going to learn and the person you're going to be. And then everybody around you turns you into what you're going to be someday. It's got to be nurtured. You know, these things that we're talking about, these kind of strengths have got to be nurtured and grown and cultivated in from a child and on the way up. And if it's not, and then you come upon these principles later in life, it's harder. It's harder to turn your, you know, to be turned into something else other than what you've been molded into be by life. That's why it's so important for these little ones, especially in our children, to start out when they're little bitty and start trying to nurture these strengths in them. You know, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but, you know, a lot of times what you see is people that become unbalanced in the kind of strength that they try to nurture and grow in their kids or in their self. They'll focus on one kind of strength. And they'll neglect other kinds. And in all honesty, there has to be a good balance or else there's going to be, you're just not going to be complete. And you never will be what you're supposed to be if you're unbalanced in this. All three of these characteristics can be feigned. You ever think about that? People can pretend to have all of these things. You ever see, it cracks me up because I mean, this is a little bit self-deprecating, but you see it in the styles that the world has in their clothing and everything else. I mean, there's people who dress a certain way and strut around because they want everybody to think they're tough. These boys that, listen, if you really knew who was designing these shirts and these clothes for you to look this way, you wouldn't wear them because it's the sodomite generation that's doing it. But like, what brand is it? Hollister and Abercrombie, I think, back when I was younger. They would have these t-shirts for boys, and they made the shirt sleeves like real short on the t-shirts. You ever pay attention to that? Like, it looked like the boy was wearing a shirt that was three sizes too small for him in the arms, but it fit him in his body. Well, that's kind of weird. Why would you? Well, because it made your arms look bigger. Because your shirt sleeve, your cuff was up above your bicep there, and it made you look like you had bigger arms than you did. Some of them. Some of them, no, there wasn't nothing they could wear that would help them. But listen, seriously, it was something they could wear to make them look like they had strength, physical strength. But they didn't. You know, there's people who, you ever met somebody and just at first impression is like, that's a good guy. He's a good guy. And then you get to know him a little bit better and you realize he's not that great of a guy, you know. And spiritually, it's the same way. I mean, I've heard, you know, we've been in a lot of churches through the years. And Dad always said, you know, usually when you're the new person in the church, the first person that comes up to you and just makes a big deal over you being there, you better watch that person because they're usually the one who's not very spiritual. They're pretending. They're feigning spirituality. So that everyone believes that they're spiritual, but they're really not. They can all be faked until put to the test. And one can be deceived by someone that they possess one or more of these traits. You know, it's people get real good at pretending to be something they're not. And there's only one way to find out. And that's just to stand back. You're not going to drill them and grill them over, you know, answer these questions and I'll figure you out. Nah, that's why I don't like to argue with people about much about religion or anything, because anybody can be trained to say all the right things and convince you. It's like I told a boy last week, he said, you know, the devils could be, his ministers can be transformed into ministers of light. I said, well, people will think they're ministers of light. They're not really ministers of light, but everybody will think so. So you better be, like Jesus said, take heed how ye hear. because you'll take and, you know, interpret that just a little bit different, and then you're going to be thinking that Kanye West is a wonderful Christian man now. Just throw that out there. We'll see. That's all I got to say about that. We'll see. By their fruits, you shall know them. And look, my desire, just sidebar here, I hope the man did get saved. But you want to know what's going to happen to him if he really did? Every man's going to do just like they did Paul. They're going to forsake him. And he will continue for God if he's real. But if he finds that happy medium and he compromises on his music and all this other stuff, man, he got a form of godliness, but he denied the power of it. And he's doing just what we're talking about here. He wants to appear right now in the media. I mean, they're lapping it up because he's such a figure. And he's appearing to have a lot of spiritual strength. But we'll see if it's a flash in the pan, as they say, or if it's the real McCoy. You know? And it's the same. This all can be feigned. Everyone wants to identify with one or more of these traits, but most aren't willing to do the work and make the sacrifice to achieve these goals. And that's just common knowledge. I mean, it's that way in where you work. It's that way in school. I mean, everybody wants to be valedictorian, but nobody wants to, you know, you don't find very many people who are willing to do the extra long work and not going out and having fun and not going to basketball games and not going to all this fun stuff because they're staying at home studying or they're taking tutor classes and doing all this other stuff to be able to keep the grades up. It's that way in everything. I mean, everybody wants the recognition and nobody wants to make the sacrifice. And it's that way in spiritual matters too. You know, that's why I think the Lord said many are called, few are chosen. You know, the call is there, but there's not going to be very many that pass muster, as they say. Because there's some sacrifice that goes into it. All this stuff we're talking about, these strengths, they come at a cost. They come at an awful cost. In man's opinion, the strongest survive, right? Survival of the fittest, natural selection, or whatever you want to call it. You know, and as humans, we're susceptible to this. I mean, it's kind of like our knee-jerk reaction. I mean, look, Samuel did it. They did it with Saul. We've been talking about Saul, preaching on him. And then, you know, and David, Samuel went to Jesse's house. And how many times? 7 or 8 times? Surely this is the... And it wasn't. And he was going by how they looked. They appeared to be exactly what the job called for. But they didn't have it. That wasn't... What man sees as the points of strength ain't always... It ain't always who's the strongest. Physical strength is not always the point, man, you know. However, God never had someone who would be courageous enough to stand alone, if need be, for him who had not also answered the call to be courageous, to be of good courage. But they also had to be strong. Let me see if I can say that again in a way that makes better sense. Made better sense when I wrote it down, I guess. But God calls you to be courageous, to do these things, to have this kind of strength. But you don't ever have one of these things without the others support it. You're going to have all of this. The Apostle Paul, I've heard it said before that from all other like writings and things that people can gather from history or whatever, that he was supposed to have been like a man of small stature. He was a little fella. But he was strong. And it wasn't because he could pick up a car or bench press 500 pounds. You know, he was the endurance that he had. You know, he was beaten and stoned and run off and spoke evil of and rejected by the brethren for all them years and still had the endurance to lay in a filthy prison and freeze to death in the winter and suffer the beatings and everything else and write most of the New Testament. You know, he had the strength and the endurance to keep focused on what was really important, even amidst such duress. And was he spiritually strong? Oh, yeah. Did he have strength of character? Yes, he did. Was he physically strong? Well, because of those other things, it made him be able to endure. So there's an aspect of physical strength that comes as a result of these other kinds of strength. I don't think you very often will find someone who has much strength of character and much spiritual strength who's going to be fat and lazy. No. You just don't see that very often, if ever. Sometimes disease or things like that confine people to a state where they can't be physically strong that way, like to be able to pick something up or whatever, and they can possess these other strengths. But that's the exception to the rule. I'm talking about as the center of the road here and how we should apply this to our lives. You know, we shouldn't just pump it into our kids. And, you know, I've seen, well, even like with Lucas, he's like, show me your muscles. And he'll do that because that's what he wants to be. He wants to be strong. Yeah. And he'll grow up one of these days and he'll be stronger than he is now for sure. But the same effort ought to be put into, maybe even more, for him to have strength of character and spiritual strength and where it all comes from. All right. God calls men and women to strength and courage, and there's stages to the growth and development, whether to salvation first and then to service. It seems to follow a pattern, and that's what we're going to look at here with our scripture verses here this morning. But, you know, there's, in reference to like this blacksmith we've been talking about, you know, it always starts out, first of all, whether it's in the secular world or whether it's in the spiritual side of things, there's always leadership, but there's always an example first, you know. Somebody, you know, I remember some people asking me when I was in high school, so what are you going to do when you grow up? What are you going to do when you graduate high school? What are you going to be? What are you going to be when you grow up, right? I had no idea. And I tell people sometimes I still don't have no idea. I'm just kind of going along with whatever comes along. But there are people who, like there's this boy we know here this past week or a couple weeks ago. He joined the Marine Corps and they shipped him out. And his mother put on there on Facebook that he had wanted to be a Marine since he was 6 years old. That all of his life, that's all he's ever wanted to do. Well, he had it in his mind that that's what he wanted to do. So that's what he's doing now. He's somewhere doing a push-up probably right now as we speak. Or running and running and running and running. But somebody inspired him to want to be that. You know? All of us have someone that has inspired us in some way to want to be something or accomplish something in this life. Whether it's your dad or your mother or an uncle or a patriot in the past or whatever. There's always someone who's inspired you to want to be a better person or to accomplish something in your life greater than what you're doing. Goals, direction. You know, you follow what I'm saying? Somebody don't just wake up one morning and say, I think I want to be a blacksmith. No, usually the way it works is they're somewhere and they see somebody else doing it. And they think to themselves, that's neat. You know, I'm gonna watch this guy. And then maybe you get to talk to him. And the further along you go, the more you're convinced, especially if they encourage you, that you could maybe do this too. And if it's something that really interests you that way, then you pursue it. There's an inspiration that comes from somebody watching someone else's example. I've known a lot of preachers in my life that have been an inspiration to me, that have, you know, been steady and faithful. And when I think about them and their life, now, if you ask them, they'd probably not have the same opinion of themselves. But to me, they're an inspiration. to when I start to feel discouraged, or if I start to feel like I'm losing my focus on my goals in life or my service to the Lord, I can look at their life and say, I bet you that they've had a few moments of doubt too, but look at them, they've endured all these years, they've stayed faithful. And if they can do it, I can too. There's always somebody who you're looking to. In Deuteronomy 31:7, Moses, getting down close to the end of his life, and he had a protege that followed him around for all them years, all through the whole wilderness journey. There was one guy that was with him consistently. His name was Joshua, and he was a strong, courageous man. And he was that way because he stayed focused on the commandments of God and the people who were doing them. And in them days, there weren't very many of them that was doing what God told Moses they should do. A bunch of rebels. And somehow, in the middle of all this, Joshua, here he was. And in Deuteronomy 31:7, Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to enter in. Thou shalt cause them, actually it says, to inherit it. Thou shalt cause them to inherit it. That was Moses talking straight to Joshua. You know, he'd followed him around and been his servant for all these years. Carried his stuff around for him, even went up on the mountain with him. You realize that? That Joshua went into the darkness with Moses. When all the other people were afraid, he borrowed a little courage from old Moses and went with him. And now here we are at the end of Moses' life. And because of the trials that Moses has been through and the victories and the losses that he's experienced, he's not going to get to enter in. And instead of bemoaning that, he looked at Joshua and he said, listen to me. You need to do two things. You need to be strong and have a good courage. And you need to lead these people. You're going to be the one that makes them inherit this. You're it. And this man that had been his inspiration for all these years was now saying, all right, here's a hammer. Let's see you make one. And, you know, there was a transitional stage that he was going through right then where he had always been with Moses, and now it's fixing to be his job. You know, I've been in situations before in, you know, when there's a group of people, it's always easier for everybody to be excited about what you're supposed to be doing. But there comes a time when everybody leaves and there's just you. And you're the one that everybody's looking to saying, all right, now it's your turn. The fire, it's your responsibility now. The tools, they're your responsibility now. The work, it's your responsibility now. And there ain't nobody around to help you or encourage you or pep rally you along, or, you know, all your buddies ain't hanging out with you no more. You only got one person guiding you and being your companion, and that's the Lord. And I found myself in those positions before, in seasons of my life, and where I look around and I think, you know, just not very long ago, there was a whole bunch of people that was here of the same mind with the same goal, and everybody wanted to do the same thing. And where'd they all go? When I got my tools out, they all went away. Well, that's how it is. You know, it's like when Joshua and Caleb went with those other 10 men to go spy on the land. And when they came back, only the two of them had any encouraging words to say. The rest of them didn't. And everybody just sided with the majority. And now here's Joshua, and there's not a whole entourage of people there to support him and help him co-labor. Moses said to Joshua and nobody else. And so the weight of all of that responsibility, of that leadership and everything else, fell right on his shoulders. And so the next stage that he entered into was the instructional time. I mean, he had He had been under the tutorage of Moses and the guidance of him physically. And now Moses is gone. And now God is his guide. He has to look to God himself. And so there were some things that happened during that time that made him, this became a reality for him. It wasn't that Moses was there kind of like the safety net, so to speak. It was just him and God. Because if you look on down in Joshua chapter 1, it talks about how, and you know, and God came to Joshua and said, Moses, my servant, is dead. So now it wasn't Moses telling Joshua this. It's God speaking straight to Joshua now. A lot of times you're going to find yourself, sometimes it happens slowly. So most of the time it just happens, it seems like overnight, where the people that you've been leaning on for your apprenticeship, if you want to call it that, in spiritual matters and stuff, all of a sudden, they're just not there anymore. I mean, death can steal someone away just like it did Moses here. And then, you know, in the matter of a few days, this person that you leaned on awful hard is just not there anymore. Now it's time to see what you're made of. Now it's time for the test. God said to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, be strong and of a good courage. Well, he said, man, I've heard that before. Yeah, he had. Moses told him the same thing. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. He'd heard that too. Moses had told him, you're going to be the one that helps them go in and inherit this land. Now God is telling him the same thing, only it's straight to him. Only be thou strong and very courageous. He'd heard that too. But then God followed it up with a one-up. He said, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. He said, do you want to successfully accomplish the job I've gave you to do? Well, yes. All right, then here's what you need to do. Be strong. Be very courageous, because you're going to need to. And be sure to observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it, neither to the right hand nor to the left. Then you'll prosper wherever you go. See, our strength, spiritual strength, strength of character that develops because of a good spiritual relationship with God, even physical strength in the matter of enduring hard things and trials that come along, all that comes from one place. And it comes from obedience to the law of God. And we've talked about this. Dad preaches about it all the time. But sin is the transgression of the law of God. Whatever God said for us to do, and we don't do it, it's sin. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You want to be able to prosper wherever you go? Forsake your sin. That's what's got to be eradicated. The more people I talk to nowadays, the simpler this question and answer situation becomes. Because the devil's tried to make it really confusing for everybody, and he's good at it too. But at the end of the day, the same situation it was for me when I finally got salvation nailed down in my heart, what it really come down to was one thing. It was my sin. The things I was choosing to do instead of obeying God. And the question was, are you going to forsake that and obey me? Or are you going to continue the way you're going? That's what salvation is. It's turning away from your sin. You're done with it. And God told Joshua, if you'll obey my law, then you'll be prosperous wherever you go. You know? You need to be strong and very courageous, but you also need to obey my law. You know, there's a lot of people who are strong and courageous, but they won't obey the law. Kind of like the whole matter of the clean and unclean animals. You've been preaching about this on Wednesday nights in Leviticus and different things about that. And I'm telling you, I seen something the other night while you were preaching, and it just, I don't know why I never made this connection. How come there were animals that fit part of the bill of a clean animal, but they didn't fit the other part? You know, a hare chews the cud, a rabbit, But it don't part the hoof. It has the hoof of, it has the paw like a dog. You ever think about that? Well, he chews the cud and that makes it okay, but because he doesn't part the hoof, like, then he's still not clean. You know, only the animals that God established that did it all. They fit all the bill. Those were the only ones that were clean. And all of that was symbolic in so many ways so that they would understand, look, if you're strong physically, but you're not strong in character, then you're not complete. It doesn't fit the bill. You don't fit the bill yet. The work hasn't been accomplished in you to bring you to fruition. The strength that I'm talking about. You know, there's other creatures that part the hoof, but they don't chew the cud. And see that he, some people ask, you know, wonder why God made certain creatures the way he did. Well, I know why he made them that way. And why he established that is because so people would understand that, hey, if I am incomplete in my obedience to Christ in this matter of purity and purification of my flesh, then it's not acceptable. It's still not acceptable. And that's something to think about in this matter here. He said, be strong and be very courageous, but you also need to obey my law. Because if you're the other two, but you're not that, you don't obey my law, then it's all for nothing. You're incomplete. It's not going to work. So here he spent some time in this stage of his life where he was being taught by God and led by God. And, you know, it's not something that you go and you study for a while and then you get your degree and now you've accomplished it. No, I mean, you can go and get a journeyman's license in smithing or electrician or whatever. Welding, I mean, you get certified as a welder. But I promise you, it's just like basic training for a soldier. It's just that. It's just basic training. You know, you come out of basic after 8 weeks or 14 weeks or whatever it is that they go, you're not a seasoned man of war. You just have the basics. You've learned to beat your body into submission and make it do what you want it to do, and they've taught you the basics. And you talk to anybody that's ever been in battle, and they'll tell you, the only thing that prepared me for anything that I experienced on the battlefield was just the basic things they taught me in basic, but they learned how to be a soldier on the battlefield. And that's where it happens. Joshua learned how to be a soldier on this battlefield. But he had these things nailed down and he obeyed. See, you're preparing the next generation for this same battle. Because the last thing we're going to talk about here is the third stage of all this is the leadership of others. You know, Joshua found himself in a situation where now he's the leader. And there's a lot of things he had to learn fast, but there's a lot of things he'd been learning for 80 years or however old he was when he took that position. And he was ready because his heart was right. And he looked at Moses and the shortcomings that kept Moses from getting to go. And Moses, paraphrasing here, but Moses said, look at my life. You know, you have a job to do that I was supposed to do. But because of my failure, I can't do it. Now you go and do it and don't do what I did. Don't fail in this matter of obeying God. See, you don't always have to teach your kids what not to do because of your scars. You don't have to make the same, your kids don't have to grow up and make the same mistakes that you did or I did. If we get a hold of this matter of obeying the law of God and teaching them how to be spiritually strong, strong character, which will make them be able to endure the darts that come from Satan, preparing them for what the Bible calls that evil day, you know? They don't have to learn. You don't have to teach your offspring, your generation, not just your kids, the spiritual offspring that comes from your influence, don't have to learn how to do what's right because of your failure to do what's right and the consequences of it. Does that make sense? You know, Joshua didn't go and do the same thing that Moses did and then try to teach all those people that, hey, I'm going to read this. It don't always happen right away, but there'll come a time after you've done the work, after you've suffered the blisters and the sore muscles. I say this about Zach sometimes, just because he's the one person I know that I've known since before he was a blacksmith, and now he is. And, you know, I mean, we grew up together and we mowed grass and did all kinds of stuff. But you look at his old hands now, and they're just like catcher's mitts. They ain't blisters on them no more. They're just like the bark on a tree or something. You know, they don't ever get completely clean. And they're just like formed to the shape of a hammer handle. You know what I mean? They're just, because that's what he does. And he learned the hard way how to sand the paint off of the handle of your hammer, because it'll rub blisters on your hands. And you got to keep working with them blisters. After you've suffered the blisters and the sore muscles and you've been burned because of your mistakes, you'll be able to pass some of that knowledge on to someone else. That's why in the beginning, what we was talking about guidance and instruction here a few weeks ago, you want to find somebody who's got hands like that if they're going to teach you how to. It's like you don't want to pick the guy who's missing four fingers and a foot to teach you how to run a chainsaw correctly. That's not going to be the guy that you want to learn from necessarily. You know what I mean? And that's why I think the Lord said that a pastor, a bishop, is not supposed to be a novice. You know, he needs to have been under some instruction for quite some time and learned some things. Not just man's instruction, God's too. He needs to have weathered some storms and fought some battles and got a few scars to prove what he's learned. And it's this way too. I don't think that it's very effective when you see a 20, you know, fresh out of college youth pastor. Pastor, being the youth pastor of a church with a bunch of kids that's 4 years younger than him. He don't know beans about nothing. He don't. And he can make it seem like he surely does, and everybody can be all happy about it, but the first time he's either faced with some serious temptation from the devil, because they will be, in a circumstance with some young girl in the church, or whether it's some awful tragedy that they're going through, he don't have no experience in not only withstanding and enduring, but having any wisdom to give anybody at all. You know, there ought to be a time of your life where you just don't say a whole lot for advice to other people. I've learned this the hard way, because the older I get, the more I feel like the less I know. You know, the older I get, the more I feel like I really need to find somebody that knows what they're doing and just follow them around for a while. You know, and there ain't very many young people starting out, whether in spiritual life or even physically, that have that attitude about things. You know, it was mentioned this morning something about a go-kart and how mom and dad think it's so dangerous. I said, well, you know, look on the internet every once in a while on Facebook. There, you know, about every 3 months, some other 14, 15-year-old kid is dying on a UTV. And it's not because they were drinking or anything like that. They didn't think it was near as dangerous as mom and dad did. But it was. Same thing here. You become the person that we talked about who inspires someone else to take that step of faith and pursue God, to answer the call. And your confidence in this matter won't be because of what you've done or accomplished. It'll be derived from what work you've seen God do in your own life. I want to read this and then I'll be done. We're plumb out of time. It's in Joshua chapter 10, where I told you to go to begin with. And if you can read it from verse number 1, it's really good. But here, let me just break it down. They had already conquered Jericho and Ai. And all these other kings said, oh man, we need to go and attack their ally and draw them out into battle. If we all join together, we can conquer them, because they were afraid. But it didn't work out that way. And the Lord delivered them, all them people, into their hand. They slew a bunch of them. But them five kings of those countries, they were cowards. They weren't physically very strong to endure much. They went and hid in a cave. Well, Joshua found out about it, and they rolled stones in front of the cave and put guards there and wouldn't let them out. Then they went and killed everybody else that was the enemy, and then they came back, and Joshua said, get them kings out here. And it says there in verse 24, "And it came to pass, when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel, and said unto the captains of the men of war which went with him, Come near, and put your feet on the necks of these kings." It wasn't a story of tragedy to learn from this, to learn this lesson from. He was teaching them a different way. He said, "We did what God said. We have obeyed His law, and I want you to know what God's done. Come up here and put your feet on the necks of these kings." He made them lay down on the ground, and all them captains come up there and put their foot on the neck of those kings. You just got to think about that. You reckon that it made them sober and like, "Boy, we don't want to make these kind of..." No, man. It encouraged. It gave them strength, boy. "And they came near and put their feet on the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, Fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of a good courage." Now he is the one given the charge, see. Same thing Moses told him, same thing God told him. Now he's telling his men, "Be strong and of a good courage. For this shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight." And then on the rest of that chapter, Joshua then turned around and he killed all them kings and hung them in trees. And then at the end of the day, he took them and throwed them in that cave where they were hiding and rolled stones over the door of it. And it says it's remained there to this day. There was more of a message of, you can do this. And here's how we're going to do it. First and foremost, be strong, be courageous, obey the law of God. And then he was able to show them the end result of it, see? And it's the same way with us. This matter of molding young minds and lives and each other, the effect we have even on each other. You know, there's a way to go about it to be an encouragement and to help each other be what God wants us all to be. And instead of waking up one day with regret over what we've done to someone or bitterness in our heart over what someone's done to us. You know, I want to be the kind of influence on my kids, on your kids, and anybody that I meet that knows me. I want them to be able to think of me and know that, first and foremost, more than anything, I obey the Lord. And if they think I'm strong, I want them to know that that's why. It ain't because of my own doing. It's because I've chose to obey the Lord. Because that's where strength comes from. Amen.